Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in South Pasadena, California, and I have my August co-host on the line, Kathy Cousart. Good morning, Kathy, and welcome.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
I think it's a good day. It's been a really fun month on the show.
I know. We have had some heavy hitters on. It's been fun.
It has, and it was kind of, I have to give you the credit, Kathy, for kind of aggressively going out and trying to really, really bring in some amazing artists, which fortunately we were very successful with. So today's show is kind of our chance to circle around. I mean, I think a lot of people were inspired by our guests this month with all of their painting tips and just philosophies on art and how they get motivated and, you know, what they've done to kind of reach the points in their careers. And so today we reached out to all of our listeners and thought it would be fun to answer some of the pressing marketing questions that they have, which I'm excited about. I really am.
I think so, yeah.
And they're great, great questions. I wanted to mention one thing first, and that is I found this last week a new app available for iPod, iPad, and iPhone users called Podcasts, at P-O-D-C-A-S-T-S, and it's an app that's free. And what you can do is I just put it on my phone, and I uploaded the app, and then I went immediately in and searched for Artists Helping Artists and selected that one. And now when I press the little purple app on my phone, every single AHA show comes up, and I can press any of them, and they just start playing automatically.
Oh, nice.
And it automatically uploads them. So for a lot of people who, you know, maybe feel like they have to go through a few too many steps, if you have an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod, you can do that with your phone. Now, I will warn you, if you look in the comments about the app, people are really having a fun time trashing Apple, saying that the app is a little buggy, which is kind of surprising. Apple doesn't usually do that. I haven't had any problems. I think where people run into problems is if they upload like 100 different podcasts.
Okay.
So that would be my only caution. But it's really a great app, and I'm really excited because I think it'll give people the chance to follow the show in an even easier format. So
very
I just
cool.
Mention that.
Well,
I was so anyway.
I had to laugh last week, or just a couple days ago. Tony Pro, who we interviewed last week, he was amazing. Put on his Facebook wall that he hated to brag, but he was the number one. He was the number one guest, or I don't quite know what the statistic was, but the number one show on Blog Talk Radio was his interview on AHA. How about that? I got it right, maybe. But he said, well, I hated to brag, and had I known that it was going to be that wonderful, I would have had that second cup of coffee. So it was really, really funny, and those guys were so special to give us that amount of time.
We did kind of run long.
Yeah, and we're keeping today's show short. I have told Leslie under an hour.
Absolutely.
People's ears are probably tired.
I understand that.
We're excited. I know. It was when you get artists of that caliber and any of the artists that y'all have had in the past even, mm-hmm. you know, you get that chance and they get to talking and you just want to hear what they've got to say. So we hope y'all understand we were in the moment and trying to get all the questions answered that we thought y'all would want to know. So it was good. Those were good.
Okay, so with my new app on my phone, I went ahead and pressed the very first show, just kind of like, oh my gosh, what did I sound like? And the first thing I heard the second show for like 5 minutes, and the first thing I said is, wow, we're so excited. We had 100 people listen to the show. And I thought, wow, now we have 5,000.
You've come a long way, baby.
I guess so. No, it was really pretty funny.
Oh. Well, you know, it takes time. I think the thing that for me and why I'm a fan and willing to co-host, I do get nervous co-hosting. So this doesn't come naturally to me, but it's because it's such a good show and it's so helpful.
Well,
I'm
sorry. Keep going.
Well, I know I listen to them, and whether it's an artist interview or, you know, I did my first newsletter a month ago, and I went back, and there were, I think, you know, 4 or 5 options of shows on newsletters, and I listened to one that you and Dreema had done, you know, 7, 8 months ago, and it mm-hmm. was great. I got a couple tips, and So it's a great resource for people, and I think people understand that.
Well, I appreciate that. You're very kind. We are going to continue doing these artist interviews because I have to say they're amazing, and I'm really excited. There were quite a few people who have pushed me to really develop the questions to see if we can get more into what the artist is doing as far as their process, and that's been really fun to be able to kind of pull that off on radio because I was worried that how can you talk about, you know, a process, and we're going to continue, I'm hoping, at least having two artist interviews a month. So
good.
I think that's going to be exciting. Now, next month, my guest host in the month of September is Deborah Hughes, who not only owns a wonderful gallery in Newport Beach on Balboa Island, but she's also a very well-renowned plein air painter. And we're going to be talking a lot about galleries and you know, some really interesting topics. I think it's going to be very pertinent to all of our listeners. So I'm excited.
It'll be great. Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So,
well, do you want to, we'll jump in today to our questions. I'm going to ask Leslie questions that y'all all wanted to hear the answers to, and then I'll also chime in, but I'll be the kind of interviewee, I guess, interviewer, and we'll go from there. So one of the questions, which Leslie and I thought was one of the most important that probably everyone wants to know the answer to, is how do you know you're ready to sell?
And, you know, it's a tough question because I don't think I ever knew I was ready to sell. I mean, I felt good about what I was producing, and I can't remember, we were talking about this yesterday, I can't remember where and when I sold my first painting. It was either a friend who came over to my house and purchased paintings or a little art fair that I did in Pasadena. And for me, I mean, it can be a very, you know, difficult phase, and it's not to me like you have to get all your ducks in order and line up one day and say, okay, I'm ready to sell. I think more when you're feeling good about your art and you're ready to let go of your art, then you can kind of gently tread and enter the marketplace and get your art out there. I mean, I know, Kathy, you have some points on this that you wanted to bring up.
Well, I think for me, because I'm relatively new, like 2 years, I've been painting about 2 years, but for me, I kind of jumped into the blogging early on. I went to a Karen Jurek workshop and they encouraged that. And then that sort of led to me feeling like, well, I probably should try to sell a few things. And I really was not ready. I just wasn't ready. And I tried selling for just a couple months, and I wound up talking to Carol Marine about it, and I said, I just don't feel ready. And she said, well, don't. You know, you don't need to sell until you feel good about your work and until you feel professional.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it really meant a lot to me because I didn't feel ready, so why was I trying to sell? And I think it made sense to me, you know, just feel good about it. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not Scott Christensen yet, but you need to know that, like, for me, the fundamentals are really important. You know, I want to know that the values are correct and it's a good composition. And, you know, it may be a little bit simpler of a painting than, you know, paintings from a year ago than what I can do now, but they're still good paintings.
Right.
So that helped me a lot.
Well, I waited 3 years while I was painting, and I was painting pretty aggressively and taking a lot of workshops and really trying to hone my skill. But I thought, gosh, I'm just not ready. But
yeah,
a lot of times you're ready to sell when someone wants to buy. I mean, as funny as that may seem, and there's nothing wrong with being out there and sharing your art, like you mentioned with blogging, because as people see your art, and often the people that start buying your art are people that you know locally. They could be friends.
Mm-hmm.
They could, you know, and I started giving away paintings as Christmas gifts to my siblings, and the word just kind of started getting out. And then, of course, Facebook was probably the biggest way for me to let people know, not by bragging, but just saying, hey, I painted this painting, and I felt comfortable sharing it with people. So,
mm-hmm. That's
but it's
good.
It's a really exciting opportunity, but it's nothing you need to rush into, and it's nothing that you need to wait and be ready for. I think it just kind of happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gradual
process,
if that makes sense.
And I think you know. I think you really know deep down inside. You know, for each artist, it's probably personal and different. Well, part of that is also, you know, when you feel your work is good enough how do you know you have enough of it? You know, is it kind of you've got three paintings, or do you feel people should have 10, 20? You know, is there kind of a magic number that's a good number to shoot for?
Well, I think when you're first starting out, there's probably a lot of art that maybe you don't want to sell, and that's fine. And don't feel obligated, or don't even be tempted to perhaps sell some of the studies or the things that, you know, maybe need a little work down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, you know, once again, unless you're going to participate in an art show, I don't think you need to have 40 or 50 paintings as an inventory.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
I think when you're ready, then start. And
mm-hmm.
All you need to do, if you want to go out there and say, I'm ready to sell my art, just have to put a price on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do that is to do a little research and look at other artists whose art you feel is comparable to yours, look at their prices, make sure that the amount of money that you're selling your art for compensates you, for, you know, for your time and for your effort, and realizing as your career grows, so does your pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're comfortable with, put it out there and see what happens.
Well, speaking of starting to market, what's the best starting point for those who are ready? What would you recommend as kind of a good way to get started?
Well, the nicest thing is to get feedback on your art. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great to have that conversation. So as wonderful as the internet is, and as wonderful as Facebook is, which is a terrific way, doing a local art show, a local art fair, is a great way to kind of get out there into the art world, meet other artists, put your art, up for sale, and talk to people about what you're doing. I mean, that is something that there are certainly expenses involved, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But otherwise, you know, put your art up on Facebook. When you finish a painting, put it up there and see what happens.
Yeah. And I think
seen,
we mentioned – go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I've seen art on Facebook where I've said to artists, gosh, is this for sale? I love it. And they're like, oh, I've never sold a painting before. And I've bought them many times.
Yeah.
So it's a great avenue. I have to agree.
I agree. Very good. Well, how would you grow or increase – this is a big question, I think, for all of us. How do you grow or increase the following of your website, blog, Facebook, Daily Paintworks, and so on?
Well, this is a big question. And the first thing you have to understand is, who do you think your audience is? For example, if your audience is an older clientele, say it's in the 50, 60-ish age bracket, Facebook may not be the best place to promote your art. So you really have to kind of understand who your audience is. And what I did when I first started selling is looking at who was buying my art, I would put myself in kind of their lifestyle and think, okay, so what is this? These people who buy my art, where do they go on a daily basis? What kind of things do they do? How can I reach out to them? Because it's really easy to kind of do what everybody else does. And I think it's the people who are a little more creative that reach out to places where all the other artists aren't advertising and talking about the art, are the ones that can kind of grow their basis for fans. But the most important way to increase the following on your website and your blog and Facebook is you have to have a place where people can always go to buy your art. And, of course, for me, that's my website.
Mm-hmm.
And then understand that what you want to do is you want to use all the other things you do, your blog and your Facebook and your newsletter, to feed people to that place. And so you can do a lot of different things that make you stand out. You can use videos. Videos are a great way to get people to want to click on your blog or on your Facebook page to watch something. And the other thing is, when you're trying to feed people to your website to see your art, you've got to make sure you give them that easy path. So when you put a painting on Facebook, for example, or on your blog, make sure right below it is the link to go straight to the page
mm-hmm.
on your website where you can buy it. Really, really important. The other thing is you have to give people, I mean, you have to be interesting and give people a reason to want to go to your blog or to go to your website or your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to just post your art. And that, in a lot of cases, that is interesting to people, but you really need to be creative and think about, okay, am I solving a problem for people? Am I creating some interest? What can I do that's going to have them want to come back and want them to say, oh, I wonder what Leslie's talking about on her blog, or I wonder what she's talking about on her Facebook? I mean, it's work, unfortunately. It doesn't happen automatically. And then the third thing that's super important is building your newsletter email list and your blog following list. Because what you want to do is anytime anyone comes to your blog, to your Facebook, or certainly to your website, you want to capture them because it's so easy for them to come and go and never come back.
Yeah.
And if you can create an incentive or a reason for them to fill out that little email box so that you can reach them in the future, then you're going to be successful. Then, of course, you have to actually use that use that list.
Well, I'm on my second newsletter. It's coming out on Tuesday, and I was told it would change my life. So I'm hopefully.
Who told you that? And I want to say a couple other things too. You know, people say, how can I increase the following on my website and my blog? Well, look at your analytics on your blog and see what your most popular blog posts are, because then you're learning from what you've already done as to what's successful.
Mm-hmm.
So look, I mean, you can go right into, you know, if you're on Blogger, actually it works on WordPress too, but go straight into your analytics and look for those big jumps in activity and see, what did you post that day? What did you talk about? Because that's what people are coming back, or that's what people are looking at. Learn from what you've already done.
Well, and it may be different on your website or blog and on a place like Daily Paintworks. I know for me,
absolutely,
it's my stat, and I don't study stats that often, but when I look and I realize there was kind of a difference on Daily Paintworks, people are really interested in my floral paintings there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not interested in Georgia Bulldogs. They don't live in Athens, and they don't even know what a bulldog is. So you have to kind
of
look at what works and what's working for what site, whether it's blog, Daily Paintworks, whatever.
Because it's different. You're right.
It's different,
and it's really
yeah.
important to understand which audience is kind of going to which area. Another
yeah.
thing is when you're posting on Facebook, kind of in your mind keep that question of, why would people share this? Why would they want to share this? And it's kind of all about, they say, don't create noise, create value.
Mm.
And so if you know, I would even put that on a post-it and stick it on my computer and ask myself, why would somebody want to share this post? Is it helping? Is it creating a value? Or am I just like saying, here's my painting?
Yeah.
And doing that, I think, is going to help you kind of revamp how you look at Facebook and how you can use it to create visibility and drive more traffic to eventually your website. So, you know, I think it's another thing that on Facebook I want to mention, that if you list a post and you have a photograph on it, you have a 56% chance of people following the link than if you don't have a
really?
Photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, most of us probably use photos, but that's certainly good to keep in mind.
We're visual people.
Mm-hmm. Well, the world is visual.
Uh-huh, and it's even much higher with videos. So,
yeah.
Cool. You know, when you write that post, if you can attach a photo, and nowadays on Facebook, there's so many things you can do to make your photos more prominent that it's really important. And even if, and one thing I say about posting, and I am so guilty of this because I've been so busy with webinars that I have not been painting in the last couple of weeks at all, and that is post older paintings. There's no reason why you only have to post brand new paintings that just came off your easel. Because there's a very there's a very good chance something you painted, you know, 3 months ago, people didn't see. They weren't on Facebook
mm-hmm.
that day. They didn't see your blog or didn't go to your website. So,
well, I read somewhere, and I think I mentioned this to you, that the average feed on Facebook is like 3 hours. And I don't have that many friends, but I know occasionally I'll wonder, where'd Leslie go, or where's Kelly McDonald, or whoever,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I just, because of crazy life, have missed, you know, a half a day or a day, and I just don't see the people I want to see. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
whatever you put up, it may not be seen at all, so there's nothing wrong with posting older, beautiful paintings.
That's
very
right.
Very good.
That's right.
Well, The next question I'm really interested in, well, I'm interested in all the questions, but this one's really cool. Can you talk about websites which produce fine art prints and reproductions?
Well, there's two websites that I have been involved in that I use for reproductions. Now, when you say fine art prints, they don't produce giclées, but they do kind of take over the whole process of printing your art either on canvas or on museum quality paper. They handle the framing and everything, and that's ImageKind and Fine Art America. And the thing that is, I guess I don't understand why someone wouldn't do it, because here's the thing. It's one of these, you know, selling art while you're sleeping concepts where you upload a high quality image to their site. You set up your store. You get to decide how much money you want to make. You get to decide how much you want to charge. They'll tell you what their cost is. And then you do nothing other than, of course, promote the fact that you have prints available. And I love the fact that every month I get an email from Cafe Press saying, here's like $120, or here's $150, or here's $79 that you made selling prints. And I did kind of like nothing. So it's something that's so great. And the reason why you should do it is it also gives collectors who perhaps can't afford a painting or who want a larger painting that they can't afford. A lot of collectors mm-hmm. maybe could afford a 6x6 for $200, but they want a 18x24 and they don't want to spend $800 for it. Mm-hmm. So if they can get a print of your art, it's a great way to kind of get them into your fan base. And it's really important that you promote that. And one of the things that I think Peter Fossey was the one who gave me this idea, and that is when you post a painting, underneath it put a link of you can buy, you know, to buy a print of this painting, click here. And why not offer both solutions? So,
good idea. Yeah.
So the two are, once again, ImageKind and Fine Art America. It takes a little while to set up, only from the standpoint that you've got to upload some higher resolution photos. And then that's it. So.
And that leads in, I'm not sure if it was the same person, but they wanted to know how to go about photographing paintings to make prints, specifically larger paintings with palette knife texturing.
Well, if all of the prints that I offer on ImageKind, for example, I photographed the art myself. And I actually, when I photograph a painting, I photograph it outside in the light, but I take about 20 photos of it and I put it on an easel and I turn the easel to get different reflections of light. And what happens is, as I turn it, I start getting shadows, and then the palette knife edges start to become very apparent. Now, I may need a picture of that painting that doesn't show the knife strokes as much. And so then when mm-hmm. it gets in diffused light, I need to make sure I have, I guess what I'm saying is I need to make sure I have all the different variations of that. Now, I did run into a situation with art licensing where the photographs I had taken were not even remotely close to the resolution that they needed. And I had to repaint some paintings. I had to go back and reclaim some paintings for people that I could, who had already purchased them, mm-hmm. and send them out to be professionally photographed. And even in some cases, having them professionally photographed may not be a high enough resolution. So there's so many differing levels. But for companies like ImageKind or Fine Art America, you can, if you use a 35-millimeter camera and you're taking your own photos, I've never had a problem having a high enough resolution to have them printed into a very large size print, you know, something of, you know, like 30x30 or 48x48.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about Fine Art America, when you load in your photo, and ImageKind, when you load your photo in, if the resolution's not high enough, it'll come up and show you that it can only go as large as maybe like an 8x10.
Okay.
And then you know you need a higher resolution photo, so you can go back, resize it, put it in, and suddenly you'll see, oh, wow, they do have a 2-foot by 3-foot option available now.
Well, I've not gone down that road, but I would expect that those sites give some suggestions of what DPI and all that, what ImageKind.
Absolutely. They give exactly what you need to do.
Okay. Well, hopefully this person could go to both of those sites
mm-hmm.
and then get a little more info. And if they have any other questions, we can deal with that another time. Very good. Well, I like this question too. Is it worth going to art shows and events with all the hassle and schlepping tents, fixtures, and paintings, or is it worth paying a gallery 50%? What is an artist to do to make a living?
Well,
great question.
It is a great show, and I can't really, I don't know if I'd want to answer a blanket answer on do art shows or don't do art shows, because as we both know, there's a lot of amazing art shows that are wonderful. I think what you have to do is you've got to do your research first. And what I did when I was looking at a couple art shows is I went online, found the promo page of the show from the previous year, looked at who were the artists, and I started emailing some of the artists asking them about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Whose art was similar to mine? And I didn't just take one artist's answer. I did multiple answers because I realized it made sense to get, you know, various, recommendations. And the other thing is you need to understand who the clientele is, who's coming to that show. I mean, the best way is to go to the show and experience it as a spectator and not as an exhibitor and just see if you think it's the kind of place where your art would appeal to those that are attending the show. But here's the problem. I did an art show my first year and sold a 6x6 painting and, you know, did not make any money. And it would have been so easy for me to say, don't go back. But I went mm-hmm. back the next year, and I think I sold 3 pretty good-sized paintings. And then the next year, I sold 6. And it was a huge experience. A lot of it has to do with what you do when you're there. I mean, I spent a lot of time making my booth look very aesthetically appealing. I had some incentives. I did a demo while I was there and worked the crowd like you wouldn't believe.
Well,
I mean, it was hard work.
Yeah.
But I figure if I'm going to spend the money and spend the time, and I'm not one who loves to schlep stuff, as referred to in this question, because it is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
But I figure if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go 100%. And I think that makes a big difference and pays off. So, I can't say there's a blanket answer, but I think if you are going to go the art show route, do your homework, which is obviously really important. So, and the same goes with galleries, because it is so wonderful to be able to sell your art in a gallery. It's fantastic. But if you do that, you have to work at it and help the gallery sell your art.
Agreed.
And you also need to do your research and make sure that the galleries you're approaching and the ones that you're really persistent with would actually be ones who would be able to sell your art.
And there, and there that are, your art fits in there.
Yes, that's what I mean.
For your art, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it does make a difference, but I think, you know, if you're starting out, there are some people who kind of do the art show, they do them frequently, and they've been hugely successful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a little bit hit or miss, and I just think that if you do make the commitment and you go out at 1,000%, you're going to have more luck than if you just kind of show up.
Yeah. Well, I think we had another question along the same lines. Do you think art festivals are a good way to promote and sell your work, or are they a thing of the past?
Yeah, and I think that would have a lot to do with whether or not the show is right for you. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's some that have been around. I have noticed a lot of emails from art shows saying we've extended the deadline to apply, and I instantly think, uh-oh, people aren't signing up to be in the show. So, it's a tough call, but it also depends. There are some art shows that require a huge investment, and not just in the fee or the percentage that they're going to take of your sales, but there's some art shows that have very specific booth requirements. And even if you have the wire shelves and some of the other things you need, you may have to invest in a lot more because they have requirements. So you have to look at kind of your entire expenditure and not just how much it costs to enter the show.
Yeah. Well, at what point does the quote-unquote real cost of an event or entering a show factor in, and how do you make a decision on that?
Well, here's the thing. You have your hard costs, which are certainly what it costs to enter the show, you know, what it costs to maybe perhaps you have to drive somewhere, stay overnight, I mean, what your hard costs are. But then we all have those costs of doing business. And, you know, I entered that, I think it was 2010 or was it 2011? I can't even remember. Where I decided I needed to enter art competitions. So I entered like 11 in the month of January, and I think I got in 7, which was really weird. But one of the shows I entered, I think there was like a $40 fee. I told you this story yesterday. And the painting had already sold, but it had sold actually to a very close acquaintance of mine. So I was able to get it back. And I entered it kind of haphazardly, and I got in the show. So I had to ship the painting, which was not inexpensive, to the show so it could be in the show, realizing it was not for sale. And I had to pay for shipping to come back. So I probably spent, I don't know, $150 when it was all said and done. Now, yeah. Most people would look at that and go, Leslie, you're crazy. But what happened was they picked my painting to go on the cover of the catalog. They picked my painting was also in every ad that they ran in all the national art magazines. So here's the thing. You never know. And
yeah.
I know I got lucky, but had I decided not to do that, then the painting probably wouldn't have, you know. So there's those kind of marketing costs that you don't know what's out there, and it could lead to great things. So my point is, I think you have, when you're looking at what you're doing in your art career, you got to put a few things out there and see what happens. Take some,
mm-hmm.
you know, take a few chances, not ones that cost thousands of dollars by any means. But why not, you know, try a few different things and see what happens? Because you
yeah.
never know what may be the result. So,
definitely. Definitely. Well, and I think it's like you said, it depends on where you are in your career and what's
mm-hmm.
your goal.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the exposure you get from being in the show or being able to put it on your resume is your goal at that point in time. If you sell something and it leads to some other things, that's great. But there's smaller goals, you know, that for that time in your career are the correct goals for you. So,
right.
Good question. If you sell online and also in some small shops, must the pricing be exactly the same?
Well, you could also ask us about galleries, I think.
Okay, true,
and
true.
So my answer would be yes. But here's where it gets tricky. If you sell to a retail store, typically you're offering them a wholesale price. So you can't necessarily control what they sell your art for retail.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't do is you can't sell your paintings on your website for $100 and then sell them to the retail store for $100, fully realizing that they're going to need to mark them up probably 100%, because then you're
mm-hmm.
undercutting the store, and that's not going to make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you offer wholesale prices, you can't control, but you have to offer wholesale prices and realize that on your website you're showing retail prices. Just
yeah.
like with the gallery, a gallery takes a commission, and typically you will, you know, offer them the retail price of what you sell the art on your website and then pay them a commission of anywhere between 40 to 50%. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a
doing business. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is, and I don't have. I mean, I think paying a gallery a commission for what they're doing is more than worth it. I mean, they're finding, you know, a clientele for you that you wouldn't find on your own. They're marketing.
Yeah.
They're paying rent. They have salespeople who are talking about your art. I mean, they're doing so many things.
Yeah.
That I'm thrilled to pay them a commission.
Yeah.
I think it's great. So.
Me too. Well, once you've made those sales, what program do you use for invoices if your client doesn't have PayPal?
Well, the interesting thing about PayPal is even if your client doesn't have it, they can use PayPal and pay with credit cards. So I'm not sure everybody understands that, and I highly encourage you to use PayPal especially if you don't know who's buying your art, because it's just a great way to be protected
mm-hmm.
for not only you but also the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure everyone realizes that even if someone doesn't have a PayPal account, they can get an invoice on PayPal, click on it, and it says if you don't have a PayPal account, you can use a credit card. Fill in the information
mm-hmm.
here. It's very simple. But I use a program, and I think you do too.
I do.
Called Invoice2Go, and it's changed my life. Thank you very much.
Me too.
And it's a program that I have on my phone and I have it on my iPad. And it enables me to create invoices on my iPad when someone's standing at my studio or standing in front of me at an art show. And it is amazing. And what I love about it is the fact that I will create an invoice right there. It takes me about a minute to do. I can email it to them. There's a little PayPal button. They can pay directly. But I also use it to keep track of all the income that comes into my business. So at the end of every month, I sit down, and if I got a commission from ImageKind, I'll enter that as a payment into Invoice2Go. If I received workshop income, I'll enter that. If I received, someone wrote me a check and didn't pay through PayPal, I enter that. And they have another side of it called, what's the expense side called?
Receipts2Go.
Receipts2Go, that's right. I can go in the same program, and I now enter all of my expenses. And so when my accountant called the other day and wanted a summary of what I'd done, and I sent them their information within 5 minutes, the accountant picked up the phone and called me and said, "What happened?" Usually it takes you a month to respond to these. Invoice2Go is amazing. I mean, what do you think, Kathy? I know you use it.
I love it. I love it. And I should say it's invoice and then the number 2 and then
Very
geo, Invoice2Go.
Right.
I actually uploaded, I think it's a light version, kind of a freebie version to my iPad and found I could only do like 3 receipts or 3 invoices at a time, and it kind of wasn't quite what Leslie Soda was describing to me that she had. And I called her. I'm like, okay, I'm doing something wrong. Well, I had to spend, I think it was $9.99 or $14.99 to get the version for my iPad. And I love it because, you know, I'm new, and as I sell, I can keep up with it month to month to month. And it gives me like a little graph, you know, my husband can come in and I'll go, look, you know, it's kind of nice when you can see some good months and begin to feel like a business. And I think it's great to start out the year or, you know, go do it now and even go back several months. And, you know, like you said, you've got the information right there.
Well, I love the fact that I can look at, you just press this little button that says reports and boom, as you mentioned, there's a graph showing you every month how much you've sold. And I can look at months ahead and know, okay, I'm doing this and this, ooh, but this month's light, what am I going to do? How am I going to promote my art? So it's kind of a great motivator to kind of think, okay, so I'm kind of every month averaging, I'm selling about this much, so how am I going to keep it at that level and how am I going to beat it at that level? And it's kind of kept me thinking about new things I'm going to do to promote my business. And once you enter the information, it is there forever, and you can export things. And there is a version of Invoice2Go on your computer, but I think it's more like $79 or...
Yeah, it's $79 or $99, and I felt that the iPad version for $9.99 was plenty.
Yeah,
now if you don't have an iPad, and obviously you need the desktop, but you can try it out for free and see if it's something you would like, and it's very user-friendly, very simple to use. I think it's a great tool, so I like it a lot.
And it works. The to-go portion of it means it works anywhere you are located.
Yeah.
So if you're at a plein air show or if you're in an art show, if you're in your studio, not at your computer, it's wonderful. So
Definitely.
Love it.
Well, I'm real anxious to hear your answer to this next question. So are you ready?
I am.
What exactly does branding mean?
This is a great question. And I am so glad someone asked it, because I think people get confused when they hear branding and marketing and promoting. And I mean, there's all these like buzzwords out there. But I think before we talk about branding, you have to understand what your brand is. And your brand is your personality that identifies you, your art, and your products. So it's a combination of the look and feel that you've created. So it's your logo, it's your message, it's your look when you go to all your different sites. And so it's important to realize that you're creating that whether you want to or not. And so it's really how you're perceived as a business. Now, branding is getting your customers to kind of perceive you as the only solution to their problem. Because when you're the only thing, then they'll pay a premium. And the I think the company in the world who has done the best in branding is Apple.
Apple. Oh, I knew it.
Good answer. If you think about the branding that Apple has done, they have all of us, and I say us because I'm the biggest groupie on the planet, that I'm going to buy it just because Apple did it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's. Can you imagine getting to that point with your art? And there are people out. I mean, if you think about, okay, so this painting from this artist cost $500. And this painting from this artist costs $20,000. They're the same size. A lot of that is actually branding. And what the artist has done to kind of create that sense of, oh, you need to buy the painting from that person because it's from that person and no other reason.
Mm.
So, I mean, branding is kind of, you know, you're building your brand, you're creating a reputation, and you're getting customers to remember you. And they're more likely to recognize and remember your business with good branding. But what you're really doing is getting them to perceive that they'll pay a premium for your brand because it's you.
Wow.
And
good answer.
Well, it's something I feel really strongly about. But you can brand your, I mean, so if you think about, okay, so if someone asked you about your art, Kathy, what kind of things would they say, do you think? I think they'd say beautiful muted tones and brush strokes. I think you definitely hear golf in that conversation. You definitely hear Georgia Bulldogs in that conversation, still lifes and your marsh paintings, and that's kind of your brand. I think with
mm-hmm.
me, it's certainly palette knife, bright colors.
Boats,
certainly.
Umbrellas.
The marketing, pardon? Umbrellas.
Umbrellas.
Yeah. The marketing side of what I do. So that's the brand. So you want to be able to take your brand and make sure you're happy with it and then build it to that point where you're creating allure. And not it's not smoke and mirrors by any means, but it's building a value and getting people to pay a premium for that value or a fair price even is
mm-hmm.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of
very
fun.
Very good. It is, well, it's interesting to hear you speak about it. I don't know that we've ever talked about branding before.
We had two gals on the show about a year ago who talked about branding.
Pam,
and I haven't listened to the show since we did it that day, and I don't remember anything we talked about.
Well,
but
you're now going to have everyone
good.
Go back and listen. Yeah, and I did hear that show, and I met you, and I had not talked about it. It's fun to hear your thoughts on that. So whoever asked that question, I appreciate it. All the questions are great. I keep my prices the same in gallery, shows, website, and DPW. However, I notice that prices are so low of some of the other artists on DPW, I can't compete. What do I do?
Okay. Remember that question we just answered about branding?
Yeah. They tie in together.
You know what? You have got to create value in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people on eBay, and there is always going to be someone that's going to sell their art for cheaper than you do, just like there's always going to be someone who sells it for more. And I just think, you know what, you can't focus on the people that sell their painting for $25 because they're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, really, and I wouldn't even want to be associated with those people because for me to create a painting and get $25, I mean that's just insane. I mean, your time and energy and talent and all the years you've practiced is certainly worth more than $25.
Yeah.
And so I think don't even get in the same conversation with them. And maybe that means you have to be very careful about where you show your art.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to work on creating a perceived value of your art and so people understand that there's no way in a million years you'd sell it for $25 because it's worth so much more than that, 10 times perhaps.
Agree. And I think you have to be consistent, you know, if you're going to have, and this is from years of owning my own business and a husband with pro shops, and, you know, I'm a big sales shopper too, but if you're going to mark down pieces consistently like so many times a year or they know they can go find your art, you know, cheaper on DPW than perhaps on your website or you're kind of hurting yourself, I think I'm new at this, but I'm learning that perhaps, you know, and I've never done the low priced auctions. I've I've tried a few, dropping the price just a little bit, but my prices are not $15, $20. I've seen paintings for $1, $5. It blows my mind, and they're beautiful paintings. But I have that team mentality that I feel that if I do that, it hurts my fellow artists. I have a little bit of that team, being a coach, I guess, that team thing of I don't want to hurt, you know, my fellow people. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, and especially as a new artist, you need to have fair prices and be consistent. Mm-hmm. And that's just my take on it. But
you're right when you said that if you cheapen your prices, then people are always going to wait for it to be mm-hmm. cheaper. And
yeah.
And don't get in that. I mean, don't associate with the people that sell their art cheaply like that. I mean, you need to create a value. And it's really unfortunate. And I have never sold my art on eBay, and I don't think I ever will, primarily for that reason. And I'd rather keep a painting in my studio than sell it for $25.
Well, I have taken workshops and know Karen Jurkin, and I'm friends with Carol Marine too, but I think years ago when some of the bigger artists started at low pricing, and I recently had a conversation with David Marine about this. You know, I think there wasn't the onslaught of a dozen online galleries and Facebook, and, you know, everybody can kind of do their own marketing and branding. You know, it was sort of, they were on the cutting edge, the beginning of that years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, that worked. And it
right.
may still work for some artists today. I just, for me personally, and I've spoken with several other artists, I won't call their name on the radio show, but I think they feel the same way. You got to set a fair price, be consistent. And for me, I'll throw this out there too. You know, it's always the pricing thing can kind of be awkward. I print out an Excel spreadsheet with prices. This is it. Here's my price on, you know, framed, unframed, bulldogs, commission. It's done. There's no debating it, discussing it. You know, if you want to do business, that's great. If not, that's okay. But, you know, you just have to be confident in your prices, whether you're in a gallery, a show, a website, whatever. And you know, the price is the price. It is what it is. It's not going to change, or it shouldn't change.
The hard part about it is a lot of people who have good art and a fair price think that when their art isn't selling, it's because of the price. It's never, not never, most of the time it's not because of the price. It's because people aren't seeing your art.
And I love when you talk about that a lot, and it's,
yeah.
I it's so true,
you
and I think it gives hope to
that.
All of us.
Yeah. So wait.
It gives them hope. Yeah.
Definitely.
Very good. Well, I hope we didn't get on a soapbox, and I hope we...
Do you think?
Well, you know, I think we're all watching out for each other, and maybe, yeah, I hope people enjoyed hearing what we had to say. And if they have some thoughts, I would love for them to put it on the blog. That would be great. After this show, if people have more thoughts or questions, we'd love to see them and keep the dialogue going.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. When's the best time of day or best days of the week to post for the highest traffic for blogs and Facebook?
Okay, so before I answer this question, I'm going to give you some statistics. Look at your own analytics first.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to, the problem is with statistics is they're looking at Facebook, all, you know, 965 million people who are on Facebook. You need to know your audience and your time zone. So look at your own analytics and look and figure it out. But
yeah.
Just so you know, across the board, there are more likes or shares on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. EST. So I
really?
Guarantee you, at 3 p.m. next week, everyone's going to post their paintings. But that's the time.
I know I will.
At 3 o'clock.
Isn't that funny? What, doctors lay off and they're off the golf course or something. I don't know. That's funny.
And links,
well, that's great info.
It's kind of funny. And links posted between 1 and 4 o'clock at the highest click-throughs, just so you know.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, so during the week, Facebook traffic peaks between 1 and 3, so it says that 1 and 4 time frame. Links posted before 8 a.m. or after 9 p.m. are least likely to get shared. Most likely because people are sleeping during that time.
Wow.
But
interesting.
Here's the problem, though. there's the catch 22. Okay, so if between 1 and 4 is when people get the highest click through, that's great. But if it's also the busiest time, you can get lost and buried because there's so much happening.
True.
So as important as these stats are, look at your own, and it'll tell you
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it might have to do with what you're posting, but I think you'll get a better idea of what makes the most sense.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, Facebook ads. Someone had asked and they read about buying advertising on Facebook isn't worth the cost. The theory being that paying for likes only brings unqualified leads to your fan page. Is this true?
Okay. So there's 852 million daily logins on Facebook. 25% of those people log in 5 times a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So keep that in mind. It's the most frequently checked website on the Internet of anything. A Facebook ad can cost you $10. So I'm not sure why you wouldn't try it, because it is so different from traditional advertising from the standpoint that you don't have to spend thousands of dollars up front, have a magazine come out and say, and have no idea if it's going to work. You can
right.
spend, you know, a very small amount up front. You can target who gets to see it. Now, granted, some people won't see it, but it's such a minimal investment that I think it's worth it. But the problem
yeah.
is here. If you're going to do it, you have to do it right, because it's real easy to throw an ad up there because it's inexpensive. But you have to make sure your ad offers kind of a benefit to those who click on it, and there's an
mm-hmm.
incentive for them to click on it. So you want to, you know, incite that action just with the headline copy. You want to have a great, compelling image.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to go back and look and see how it worked. Because Facebook will tell you, run the same ad at the same time or, you know, or differently, but change
mm-hmm.
it and see which works the best. Well, I don't think I'm quite that organized. But I think running an ad on Facebook, you know, to get more likes to your fan page is a great thing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's,
good.
I mean, literally a minimal investment. You did it. You did some advertising,
well,
I think.
Well, and I'll share this freebie tip. I actually, 3 or 4 months ago, had kind of looked at doing one, just kind of nosing around, figuring, you know, I'll do one for, you know, this or that, kind of a particular something I paint, like golf courses, whatever. And, like, a week or two later, I got this $50 coupon from Facebook to do an ad. So, all of y'all out there, go kind of nose around, and you may get, a, you know, if you kind of are not sure, you may get a coupon. And what I did is I took that, I mean, that's a lot of money for me to get to do some advertising on Facebook. I took it and did a kind of a general broad ad, had some success with it. I think what Leslie's saying about if you're a little more specific, you would probably have more more success with it. But
right.
I will
target
definitely,
it.
Yeah, I was kind of broad, and that was okay. I mean, I had $50. I figured, you know, hey, I'm just going to have a party for everybody. Well, I think this is one that's probably pretty easily answered. Explain the value of a Facebook fan business page as compared to having only a timeline personal page.
Okay, well, personal profile is meant for individuals, and a fan page is meant for businesses. Technically, if you use your personal page for business, you're going against the rules of Facebook, and you could get in trouble. The problem is many of us, when we first started on Facebook, fan pages either didn't exist or they were so bad that no one did them. But what Facebook has done is they have made dramatic improvements to fan pages, and everyone needs one. I'll tell you why. There's no limits. You can have, you know, on a profile page, you can only have 5,000 friends. So, okay, we've been on Facebook for, what, 3 years? And some of us have 2,000 friends. What are we going to do in 6 years? We can have any more friends.
Yeah.
If you don't have, I mean, think about it. Facebook will probably be on 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So pages, you don't have to do a friend request. Anybody can go to your fan page. They can be viewed by non-Facebook members. You can, after you have 25 fans, you can customize your URL. So your Facebook fan page can be, you know, say to Studio, Kathy Kuzart,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want. Fan pages are searchable by Google. Your profile pages are not.
Mm-hmm.
There's apps that you can add to your fan page to sell, get subscribers, get their email addresses. There's those apps now available that I think are underutilized but not available on profile pages. There's a lot of new things that are available. And, you know, it's so funny, the whole WebinarTs thing I'm doing. Everything we're talking about today is on WebinarTs, and it's the difference between talking about it as WebinarTs, I show you how to do it. But there's things called sponsor posts, which are amazing, that you can do on fan pages, and you can increase who sees your post from maybe 300 to 3,000 for $5. You can schedule posts now, and you do that on fan page. On your fan page, you can schedule something in advance. On your personal page, you can only schedule you can't do it in advance, which is very limiting. You can pin a post on your fan page, and by pinning a post, it means you can put it so it stays at the top of your fan page for a week. You can do that. You can do targeting. I mean, there's so many things. And Facebook got smart. They realized that there needed to be a business application. Now, is it a pain in the you-know-what to create or to manage two Facebook pages? Yeah. But you have to have one, because it's only going to continue moving in that direction. And so having that fan page is super important.
I agree. Well, I have one. Well, what are the best strategies to get people to like your Facebook page? This is what I need to know. And I didn't ask this question, but I desperately need likes. So what do we do to get likes on our Facebook fan page?
Give people a reason to want to stay informed of what's happening on your page. So I took a break this summer from doing this, but on my fan page I have daily marketing tips for artists. And that's how I grew my page. I mean, I really grew. And one thing I should mention on some of the things I just mentioned on a fan page, to be eligible for some of those things like promoting your posts and targeting and all those, you have to have 400 likes on your fan page. So I just want to say you can't just like start doing things when you have two likes. So you do have to pay attention to how you get people to like your fan page. So you have to kind of give them a reason, and you have to engage people. And because if you don't, it's going to be like, yeah, well, who cares? So, I mean, you can do contests on your fan page, which I highly recommend, but I have to tell you, you kind of need to do them through these free apps that are out there that will monitor the contest, because Facebook doesn't want you just managing your own contest, because a lot of times they're worried, I think, people would run them and maybe never award something.
Follow through,
You want to involve your fans in decisions. You want to create things like demos where you're posting you know, here's where I'm starting on the painting, here's where I'm going, here's the next step, because you're giving people a reason to want to see where how you're progressing. So they may come back to your fan page, or they may like it because they want to see how you progress and what you're doing. But you have to engage them. There is a way to invite people to like your page, and, you know, you can go through your friends and individually click every single friend. If you have 2,000 of them on your personal page, it's kind of a pain. There are some tricks, and there's some ways to click them all at once. It's kind of complicated, but not really complicated, but it works. And, you know, that you can have a lot to do with it and be very successful. So you just have to give them a reason to like your page.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, what is the number one thing you recommend an artist do for marketing? Number one thing.
Give people a reason to ask about your art. That kind of goes to my saying of it's not about telling others about your art, it's giving them a reason to ask about it. And so there's so many things you need to do. You have to have a store, and then you have to talk about it. You have to promote your art. If you don't promote it, no one will see it. I mean, it's really basic, and there's so many things you can do. And I think the biggest problem artists have is you see all these ideas and you see all these great websites that give you marketing ideas, but how do you possibly put it into kind of a manageable format? It's really hard. So you need to kind of say maybe once a month, okay, this month I'm going to work on this, and be happy with that. But you have to promote your art, and you have to give people a reason to want to know about your art. maybe it's telling a story, you know, sharing your art, so many things.
Well, along those lines, how do you convert fans or collectors of, say, your postcards or note cards to actual collectors, I'm assuming they mean of big paintings?
I think you have to give them a very clear path of how they can become a collector.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to tell them. So what you need to do is, you know, if someone buys a note card or a postcard, give them opportunities to kind of become a fan. And that may be, I don't know, next having calendars that they can buy, a book that they can buy, self-publish a book every year on Blurb or one of the online publishing options, so they can get a book of your, you know, your best paintings from the year. Graduate from there to prints, like I mentioned, because what happens is, as these people are fans, you're kind of grabbing them in and you're giving them a path, and of course that path eventually leads to your paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be kind of obvious about it. You have to steer them in the direction.
Yeah.
Because they may think, oh, her paintings are $800. There's no way. Well, today they may not be in a point where they can collect your paintings for $800. But 2 years from now, they may be in a different position where that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to lose them. You want to grab them along the way. So offer different opportunities for them to get involved with your art. And that's through some
Very
of the things
good.
I mentioned.
And we just have a couple more questions. I see we're at an hour, but we're moving along. We just have a couple more. We both get into this. I have a regular PayPal account. Do I need another one to get paid for my sales?
Absolutely not. All you need is one PayPal account.
Perfect.
Yeah, very simple.
And this is an easy one for Google Analytics. What does bounce rate mean?
Okay. So a bounce rate is a single-page visit. So it's when somebody comes to your website and they leave. And they can leave by clicking on a link to a page on a different site. They can click the back button and leave. They can close the tab or the window. They can type in a new URL. So it's when they just come in and go. And you can see those on your stats.
Mm-hmm.
So the bounce rate is the percentage of the people which leave your site. And a lot of people think, oh, I have a high rate, but you have to look at what the averages are. So the average website, I think, has a bounce rate of like 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at your analytics and you're at 20%, you think, oh, no, that's actually really good.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of an interesting thing to look at, but it just makes you think, okay, so if people come to my site, how can I get them not to bounce away? You need more relevant content. You need really great, clear photos. You need a website that works, that has great navigation, speedy page loads, you know, external, maybe not a million external links. Don't give – one of the things I see on blogs all the time is a million ways for people to leave your website and go somewhere else. And I say, gosh, you went to all that trouble to get someone to come. Don't give them 20 reasons to leave right away. Keep them there for a while.
Yeah.
So it's important to think about, but it's not that hard. Just keep, you know, give them compelling reasons to stay and want to look at more.
Very good. Well, regarding marketing and the importance of thinking larger than just the city where you live, what are ways to get your name and art out there? Obviously, you can approach a gallery in another city, but what else?
Well, I think about marketing on the internet. And I don't even think about, the only thing that I think about in California is whether they have to pay sales tax. But other than that, marketing on the internet gives you the opportunity to market to international and nationally. So as important as it is to have, you know, kind of your local marketing, which may be local shows, restaurants where you could sell your art, a local gallery, maybe you're teaching locally, you know, nationally, you've got the whole internet. And I think it basically blurs all those lines between local and not. So I think it just happens automatically. I don't know. What do you think?
I think I know who asked this question, and we were actually talking about
I know
it.
I
think the person was wondering more, like we talked about, if I go get the opportunity to paint in Maine and do plein air painting and paint paintings in Maine, are those paintings going to sell in Georgia? You know, I think we were talking about regionally. Is there some things to think about? You know, is it worth, you know, me, I live in Athens, Georgia, is it worth me trying to get in a gallery in Colorado where they want paintings of Scott Christensen's aspen trees or whatever? So I kind of think that maybe if you could address that
might
be.
Well, that's knowing who the audience is. Because just because a gallery may be located in one area may not mean that they want paintings from that area. But if they do, I mean, so if I'm going to do an art show in Pasadena, I'm going to be darn sure that there are quite a few local paintings of local places in there because I know they're going to sell. And so you have to be smart about it. But there's no reason why you can't. But let's say there's a gallery in Carmel and the gallery says seascapes do well. Well, it doesn't have to be seascapes only in Carmel. They could be from Laguna.
Right.
They could be from Martha's Vineyard. They could be from Hawaii. St. Simon,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think as long as you understand who the audience is, then you need to be smart in making sure that you're picking the right art for that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That makes sense. Good idea. Yeah.
And you may not want to make it a big deal that a painting in a gallery in Colorado that's a gorgeous hillside is necessarily, you know, in Utah. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's just people buy art that they like and that they feel that they can relate to. It may not necessarily matter where the scene was actually painted.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, last question for you. What is the order of importance, blog, website, newsletter, or social media?
Well, as long as you know your audience, you have to understand it could vary.
Because
for some people, social media may not be a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that you need all of them?
Yeah, you're allowed to say whatever you want. Yeah, I agree. You do need all of them.
But I would vote, for me personally, I think for everyone, website should be the most important because that's your store. If you don't have a store, people can't buy your art online.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who have a website and it's still not a store. But second, I would rank social media, and then I'd probably put newsletter and blog tied for third. I don't know. What would you say?
Well, I have the exact same order. And
you
we didn't discuss this. Yeah.
Huh.
Well, for me, website, because I really wanted my website to fit what I think is my target audience, which that can change. And Facebook, you know, I'm really working hard on the fan page and trying to be able to do some of the wonderful things I want to do. So growing that, I think my blog, you know, is a special part of what I do. But I think the website and Facebook, for a lot of us, has probably changed. You know, I think blogging was maybe more important 2 years ago, and maybe it's not as much now. Would you agree with that?
I would. The thing about a website, you can't have just a website because people have to come to it.
Yeah.
They have to remember. They have to wake up in the morning and go, oh, I want to see what Leslie's doing. If you'll die as an artist if you only have a website. You have to have one, but it's not going to be – you have to push people there. You have to promote your art to your website.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have it, but if you also don't have ways to push people there, you're going to die in the – you know, big bad internet world.
Yeah.
So you have to have ways to push out to people. So if you don't have a newsletter, if you don't have a blog list where people follow you on your blog, so every time you do a blog post, it goes into their inbox. Without that, no one will remember to find you unless they're like your mother. My mother doesn't even look on my website. So, I mean, you have to have both.
Yeah.
So it's, I probably not the answer people wanted to hear. They probably wanted to just be able to do one. But that's why, you know, Facebook is so great because you're out there in front of people. You can't get lost because, as you know, there's so many people on there. But on the other hand...
Well, apparently, if you post at Wednesday at 3 p.m., you stand up. I mean, that's when I'm posting from now on. I'm changing my entire... No.
I have to remember... Well, at 12 o'clock West Coast time to look and see how many of my Facebook friends on the East Coast post at 3 o'clock.
I'll post and I'll talk about I'm posting at 3 because, yeah, we learned that's a good thing to do. Well, I know you are so generous and always sharing, and I'm looking forward to webinars, which starts, I believe we get the first class on Monday.
Yes.
And all of the blog, the website, the newsletter, and social media, there are, I know it's jam-packed with tips, and I know you didn't want to say a lot about it today, and you're holding back because you don't want to you don't want to brag, but you have worked so hard on it, and I'm glad that people like you are out there to help with the marketing part, because I want to paint, but I know I have to do the marketing. The marketing is a part of that so that I can afford to continue to paint. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. We're going to learn so much. It's just going to be great.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think it kind of takes everything that's out there and brings it in solely for the perspective of an artist.
Good.
It kind of manages the things that you do. And I've really tried hard to appeal to not only the people who have nothing, to the people who have a lot. So it's kind of funny because the first week there is this online web builder program, and I know I've told you about it, that is so unbelievable. I'm thinking, why did I do my website how I did? I mean, it is so easy and so incredible. And it's going to be really funny because I bet every person on webinars, and there's a lot of you, thank you very much, who will build a website just to try because it's so simple and it looks so great. And it has, you know, I mean, it has drop downs on the, I mean, it just has all those things I've always wanted on my website that I've never been able to figure out how to do. And yet it's free and it's so simple. It's like a drag and drop kind of thing. So
it's action packed every day. Yeah.
Yeah. There's tips, and you're going to be so sick of my videos.
Oh, Lord.
Hearing my voice and watching what I do on my computer screen.
But we're going to learn. I mean, that's what's so great. We're going to learn a lot. So it'll be very good.
It'll be very
good.
Fun. And it's not too late to sign up. You can. So, but it's 20 days of classes within the September course. So it'll be fun.
I'm ready.
Thank you for being my guest this month. It's been wonderful. I really appreciate it. You are an amazing artist and amazing friend, and you've had so much success. I mean, talk about artists who start late in their career, and you've been painting now for, what, like 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. That's amazing.
I paint
but
a
you
lot.
Have worked,
I work hard.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've worked very hard, and you've gotten where you are because you've been so diligent and worked so hard, so congratulations.
Well, thanks. I've had some great teachers along the way, and I just love art is my happy place. So, and I'm glad to help out, but this is, it's a lot. I admire what you do with the radio show and webinars, and you have another surprise coming that I won't mention. But
yeah, you better not.
You've had, what are you going to pay me to not mention it? No, you've had a lot going on, but it's been great. It's been a fun show. I apologize that we went over a little bit because I must have said to Leslie 4 times, we can't go over, we can't go over. So we
your fault.
Hopefully,
kidding.
I know. Well, I was the interviewer, so I guess I was controlling that. But it was good. This was a good show, and I hope if anyone's got comments, you know, put them on the blog or on the Facebook. The artist helping artists, and we can keep this going and hopefully answer some more and learn some more. It's all
definitely
good.
Definitely.
All
right.
Well, y'all take care. Okay.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye.